Today's daf in the second Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chaf Beis. Let me just review with you. Let's do that last piece again. What the heck? From the two dots, three lines up from the bottom. Once again, remember everybody jumped on Rabbi Akiva. This is on Amud Beis. Heichad Matzino, whoever heard of such a thing, nobody ever ate something that would be less than a shear of a kezias, and you would be chayiv. It's unheard of. Says, what do you mean it's unheard of? It's very normal. Velo, what about somebody eats an ant? Those delicious chocolate-covered ants. I mean, every one of them is a chayiv without a kezias. That's different. That's because it's a birya. Well, what about hegdesh? Me'ila behegdesh. You're chayiv if you ate hegdesh. And there's no shear of a kezias? Yeah, but there's a different shear. Hegdesh has to do with the hana'ava shavar pruta. So there is a shear of a shavar pruta. Well, what about if somebody says, beferish, hare mefaresh, I am not going to eat even pochas bekezias, a mashu I won't eat. What about then? Mefaresh is the same as birya. The person said, this is what I won't eat. That's like a kodesh baruch hu kevayocho saying, you don't eat an ant. That doesn't prove anything. Well, what about dirt? I mean, dirt over there is certainly, somebody says, I make a shvua, don't eat dirt. I mean, I'm assuming that that would mean that since it's absurd to speak about it as achila, you're chayav on any little bit. The person certainly wasn't thinking about a kezias of dirt, was he? Unless he was. I don't know. But if he was, then tifshot the boy rova. Then Rava's question is now answered, because it says that Rava asked, the boy Rava shvua shelo ochal, the guy who swears I won't eat, and eats dirt. How much dirt would it be talking about? It means it's a mistake here, obviously. It means a guy makes a shvua shelo ochal afa, not that he won't eat, because eating doesn't include dirt. This doesn't include, I won't eat dirt, it should say. And he eats afa. What's the shear? So Rava didn't know. So now that you're telling me that everybody in the Mishnah is yelling at Rabbi Akiva, what do you mean? Whoever heard of such a thing? So apparently you see from here that it would also be a kezayit, because otherwise Rabbi Akiva could have answered, well, here's your proof. Eat dirt. No? No. Come on, man. Ki amrina b'mida debarachila kamrina. Obviously, we mean if somebody says, I won't eat something that is edible. I mean, then we're understanding the shear of a kezias. I mean, how in the world would anybody's right mind think that eating dirt would be, I mean, maybe that's ridiculous. You can't answer Rava from here. Well, what about konamot? Konamot, where somebody says, this thing is asur on me, and that thing is the size of a mashu. What about that? That's the same as saying I won't eat a mashu. We all agreed that, of course, over there, even the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Akiva that whatever you said, you said. So, therefore, we have nothing further to say about this subject. But the next thing that we had was, of course, Rabbi Akiva's response. So Rabbi Akiva said to them, Amar Lahem, I don't know what you're making such a big deal over here. Where do you find a case like this where somebody makes a statement? And by making a statement, he's already chayav to bring a carbon. I mean, that's what's happening over here. So obviously, this is a brand new planet. I mean, it's certainly possible that we don't have any dinim of a shiur for achila. And we're talking about an iser that comes from dibur. What about that? Is that so obvious? I mean, we know that if somebody is megadif as Hashem, is mevorech as Hashem, isn't he chayav? He just said something and he's chayav. We're talking about speaking and creating Isurim. We're not talking about doing Isurim. We're speaking. What's the matter with you? So, of course, if he's Mekadef, but Medaber v'Oser Kamrina. This is a case of somebody who speaks and sins with speaking. We weren't talking about that, were we? Okay. What about a Nazir? A Nazir speaks. He says, Hareini Nazir. And once he's a Nazir, he brings when he finishes his Naziris, he has to bring a carbon. And he's talking about creating Isurim. Man, oh man. We're talking about somebody who brings a carbon for what it is he said. This guy doesn't bring a carbon for what he said. This guy brings a carbon in order to be able to drink wine and be metamei lemetim and complete his naziris. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, show me another case, says Rabbi Akiva, where somebody speaks, creates Isurim, and based on those Isurim, he brings a carbon. Show me. Well, what about Hegdash? The guy says, this should be Hegdash. And then just with that speaking, if he is Nene from that thing, then it's going to be Chayav Ameila, brings a korban. I'm not talking about somebody who makes something Hegdash and creates an Isser on the whole world. I'm talking about somebody who creates an Isser just on himself. This guy is creating an Isser Kol Olam Kulo, which has completely different Gedorim. Well, what about Kon Amot? Now remember that what is the meaning of Kon Amot? We throw that word around, but what it really means, there's no such word. The word is a bastardized version of the word korban, remember? And the reason that it's created was because Chazal did not want people to say korban, because that is too close to actually making something a Nidrei Hegdash and so on. So instead of saying korban, they say konim. But essentially, what you're doing is, you're saying, this object should be on me, usher, as if it's a korban. That's what you're saying, right? So if that's the case, there's a possibility, there is a mandiomar, we'll see, it's a machlokas, about whether there is, and this is another Gabi point, which I think he has not written down yet, in brackets, ein, or without the ein, yesh, ein yesh, ein me'ila bekonamot, or yesh me'ila bekonamot. Now, if we assume that giving something a din like Hegdash, even for me personally, on me, that if I went ahead and I ate that thing, or I was nene from that thing, that I would actually be chayav me'ila as if it's really Hegdash, if you hold that, so that would be a perfect example of a guy who says something, creates an Isser by saying something, a personal Isser by saying something, and he has to bring a korban on being over on that saying something and eating. But Rabbi Akiva said there's no such thing. Echad matzino. Here we find an example, and that seems to pull the rug out from under Rabbi Akiva's tiny terachachomim. Yeah. But that's only if you hold yesh me'ila bekonamot. But Rabbi Akiva holds kasavar ein me'ila bekonamot. Okay, that's the end of the discussion between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon in the Mishnah. But the question is, in the event that this we took for granted, Rava wants to talk it out. In the event that you said beferish, I will not eat this quarter of a kazayit, or this mashu, there everybody agrees. And of course, this has been what we've taken for granted. Rav is speaking it out. Machloket bistam. It's only if you did not specify. Avla b'mefaresh. If you said that you're not going to eat a kol shul, so divrei hakol b'kol shul. Obviously, the rabbanon aren't saying you cannot make a shvua that's on a kol shul. Of course you can. Like we explained before, why is it not a violation of the general rule that you need to have a kizayit for achila, my taima? Because it's like eating that chocolate-covered ant. By being mefarish, you create the isser on that particular entity. And if it's an entity issue, it has nothing to do with a shiur at all. So it's like a birya. Furthermore, I also want to point out, says Rava, this entire discussion is built around the fact that the man used the word eat. And eat is a technical term that has a shiur of a kizayit. And that's the question. Whether the technical term is applicable in a private usage, right, in terms of a shvua. But suppose the guy wouldn't have used the word eat. Suppose he would have said, I won't taste. So then everybody agrees taste would be the way people would normally talk about tasting things would be even a little bit. So machloket bishlo ochal. But if a guy said lo etom, and he avoided using the word eating, so then everybody, even the Rabbanu, would agree that, of course, in that case, it would nothing to do with the shiur of achila, and it would be a kosher. Well, isn't that pshita? I don't understand what Rava's point is. Well, it's not so pshita, because look, people do use those terms interchangeably, right? So they'll say, when somebody's saying, you know, come on in and eat, no, ani lo rotze litom klum. Right? So it really means I won't eat, but it means like, you know, take a little bite. No, I won't even take a little bite. You might have thought that that means like eating. Kamashman Ravitch is speaking out that no, it's not true. The word lit'om is not to be confused. It's studiously avoiding the word eating, and therefore it has nothing to do with the amount. Amrif Papa, I want to make it also clear, the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is, as is clear from the Mishnah, we're talking about Shavuot. But again, as we've been assuming all along, because we asked about Karamot before, if you answer yourself Bekonim, and you say, this thing, I'm not going to eat this, right? So you don't never use the word, I won't eat this. You're saying, this is a Kona. That's all you said. So then, of course, everybody's motive, that's Bekol Shu, because where did you ever utilize the word eat? When you said konam, you did it. So kivan deloka mitkir shma dachila, you didn't use that word. It's the equivalent of saying, I will not be nene from any amount of this. All of these things were assumed up until this point. We actually even used them to ask questions on the Mishnah, right? Now, we want to look into it and see whether all of these assumptions were actually justified. So meisve. Here's a braita, and the braita sure seems to imply that there is a shear in konamot. Because the braita says, let's say you have two different loaves of bread, and each one of them was usher on you with a konam, you could be mitzarev, two different pieces to equal one kizayit. So they're combinable. Now, if you're telling me that there's no shear, the word combinable is a joke, right? Let's first finish the braita. Rabbi Meir says, no, konamot are the same as shavuot, and they do not combine. Now, if you're going to tell me that the iser of a konam is, by definition, a kol shehu, combine for what? There's no need to combine anything. You said for any little amount, you're going to be chayiv. So why do I need to combine it in order to get any shear at all? No. Obviously, the braita is talking about a case where you didn't say, this bread is a konam. You said, eating from this bread is on me a konam. And then you turned to the other piece of bread, and you said, eating from this piece of bread is a konam. So over there, you made two separate konamot, and since you said eating, you mean a kizayin, according to the Rabbanan. And therefore, we're talking about, are they mitzarev? Wait a second. If you made two separate konamot, how in the world would they meet mitzarev? I mean, each one of them is, you said, eating. So that means you're not going to eat from this piece of bread, a kizayit. You're not going to eat from this piece of bread, a kizayit. And now, because you have a half a zayit of this one, half a zayit of that one, now it's as if you were over on your konam and you ate a kizayit. You didn't eat a kizayit from either piece of bread. So how in the world are you going to be mitzarev? That doesn't make any sense. Look, turn to your right, there's no shear over there. Turn to your left, there's no shear over there. Now, how are you going to put them together? Okay. The guy had made it, sorry, I made the mistake. I presented the case a little bit off. But what actually happened one is that the guy said that eating from both of these would be usher. So he says eating, so that's a shear. But since he only used one eating for both of those, it means that they are combinable. That's what we said to the mitzarev. Oh, yeah. So then, remember, you said konamot, not shavuot. Tell me what the case would be that would be the equivalent juxtaposed case by shavuot. That would be the same idea, right? So what would be the juxtaposed case, kavosi gabi shavuot, that the man said, quote, shavuah shelo ochal mishtehem. I make a shvuah, I won't eat from both of these. Why would they not be mitzarev? It should be exactly the same thing. It would be mitzarev into a kizayit. So how is the konam different? Says Rav Pinchas, a tremendous chiddush. Shvuot and konamot, in exactly the same case, where the phraseology was indicative of combining, is different. Why? Because remember that when it comes to Shavuot, of course, we have our special din that there's a chiyuv of Korban Olah V'Yoreid. Now, when it comes to a chatas, Korban Olah V'Yoreid, any chatas, yediot are mechalkot. You recall that. So if you found out in between, you did two separate maasim. So since these things in this case, let's say we're going to have a case where somebody made one shavua, and he said, I'm not going to eat chita bread, I'm not going to eat seora bread, I'm not going to eat kusmin bread. Since he mentions pat, 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 as we're going to see three times, he, in creating that, The same way that yediyot are mechalkot, so too are the statement and the pointing to the particularities of the iser mechalkot. So even though you only said one time the word shvua, but since you said pat X, pat Y, pat Z, each one of them is a chiluk chataot. Amazing. You say, well, I mean, isn't it all a shvua? It's a shvua of different types. That is true about shvuas, not about konamot. And therefore, since the mentioning of the different object, the patritim, the patzorim, is enough to be mechayev you a separate chatas, therefore, when it comes to a shvua, you cannot be mitzarev them either, because you can't see them all as one entity, because obviously just saying the word shvua once is not enough to make it one entity. V'haraya, says Rav Pinchas, for a chatas, it would be separate entities. Therefore, when it comes to shavuos, we cannot be mitzarev them. Really? So then, would you mind continuing with what we were just reading? We've been talking about the first part of the Braita. Let's read the next piece. Rabbi Meir Omer, Konamot are like Shavuot. So Rabbi Meir says that actually it's exactly the same, and you cannot combine Konamot any more than you'd be able to combine Shavuot. Now, I mean, now that you've told me this idea, I don't understand why that's true. Shavuot, the reason that Shavuot you can't combine, the only reason, you said, the only thing that makes any sense, even though it's all the same, is to Shavuot, you only made one Shavuot, doesn't combine. Why? Because of this special halacha of chataot. But konamot don't have any chataot. So, and you only use the lashon of konam once. You said konam won't eat mishteihem. So why in the world would that possibly Rabbi Meir ever suggest that if the reason for Shavuot's non-combinability is the fact that they're mechulak lechataot, how in the world would he say that konamot are like Shavuot? That's like saying chazer is like Shavuot. I mean, that had nothing to do with it. That can't be the reason. So, konamot amailo, you're right, okay? Well, we'll have to say just the opposite. Rabbi Meir was saying, I don't believe that Rabbi Pinchas is right. I don't believe that Shavuos will not be mitzarev just because of the fact that the chalukah lichataot, and therefore, since I reject Rav Pinchas, I'm saying just the opposite, that Shavuot do combine. They're the same as konamot. In the same way, there's no possible reason for them not to combine if you made one konam on two things included in the konam. Same thing would be true about making a shvua. I won't eat from both of them. Ravina says, no, wait a minute. There's no problem with the whole issue. Rav Papa, when he said that you're chayev on konamot, and he said, even if it's a mashu, and your kasha on him was from the Braita. Well, if it's a mashu, what would be the point of being mitzarefit? That was your question. He was only talking about malchus, and we're talking in the Braita about a korban. The korban, remember, is a din of shavu pruta. That's where we have the example in the Torah of this, the korban me'ila, which you're trying to apply over here to konamot. If this obviously holds that yesh mi'ila b'konamot, we're explaining it now according to this approach, right? So, if yesh mi'ila b'konamot, there the Torah definitely gave us a shear of a chiyav karban that requires a shavah pruta. Okay, so it's two different things. If you're talking about the korban, can you be mitzarev for shavah pruta from this piece and that piece when it comes to the inyan of konamot? And we're saying, yeah, why not? So you could be mitzarev then. But that has nothing to do with what Rav Papa was talking about. Rav Papa said, you make a konam, you'll be over on the lo yachel devaro, which is a chi of malchus, and you'd be over on that even if it's a mashu. That's all he said. Now, what's your problem with the braita? Wait, that's how you're understanding the braita we're talking about. You're saying that the Rabbanan essentially hold that yesh mi'ila b'konamot, and we're talking about the chiyav of a korban me'ila on a personal neder, the kona. And you're saying we're going to treat that like hegdesh. You're going to have to bring a korban me'ila for your own personal avera of not keeping to your word of the shvua. In other words, yesh mi'ila b'konamot. That's what you're saying. in the machlokas of the Braita. So you're saying, Tanakama holds it's mitzarif. But we know that that isn't true. They don't hold that there's me'ila, and therefore you don't need mitzarif, because v'atanya, somebody says, kikar zo hegdesh, v'achala. Now, he eats it, his friend eats it, it makes absolutely no difference who eats it. You said it's hegdesh. That's not a personal me'ila. That's the din of me'ila in the Torah, and it has a full din of kedusha, and because of that, you can be poda it, because you're allowed to be poda hegdesh. If it's you're the owner, you have to pay an additional chomesh, but you can buy it back, right? But if you say, a lashon of konamot, you say, this piece of bread is on me, the equivalent of hegdesh, right? So then if you ate it, so then you would be chayav me'ila. If your friend ate it, he would not be chayav me'ila, and therefore you can't be poda it, because essentially it's not really hegdesh. There's no element of buying back a neder. How can you buy back a neder? So says Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachamim say, what's the difference? You ate it, your friend ate it. There's no me'ila on konamot. Okay, so now you're actually contradicting yourself. You said, what was the Braita talking about? The Braita was talking about tziruf for me'ila, meaning a korban me'ila. That was what the Rabbanon were saying. There is a tziruf, and Rabbi Meir was saying there is no tziruf. But the Rabbanon don't hold that there's even a korban me'ila on konamot. So what is tziruf for what? Okay, we must have gotten it backwards. This, where we said that the Chachomim hold there's no me'ila, and Rabbi Meir holds there is me'ila, we had that backwards. It should have said, Echad ze ve'echad ze lomal, the Reisha should have said, Rabbi Meir Shita, that actually you would not get me'ila because ain me'ila b'kon amot divrei Rabbi Meir. He's the one who said what we said at the end of the Braita, that there's no me'ila, and the Chachomim say, no, there is me'ila. But it's only a personal me'ila. So only he would be mo'el. Chaveiro would not be mo'el. So, okay, so then if now you're reversing Rabbi Meir, can we go back to the first Braita? Rabbi Meir says, konamot ar kishivuot. That means in both cases, they do not see mitzaref. There's no combining. And then what does that mean? Konamot do not combine. Combine? What do you mean combine? There's no din of me'ila at all. There's not even an isser. If you're telling me they don't combine, then you're telling me that there is me'ila. But I thought in the next Braita, you just switched it to read that Rabbi Meir says there's no such thing as me'ila bekonamot. So you're trying to fix things, and you're just getting more and more digging yourself into a hole. Now Rabbi Meir doesn't make sense with Rabbi Meir. You're telling me on the one hand, Rabbi Meir says there's no such thing as me'ila bekonamot. This is this new Braita. And then back in the original Braita, Rabbi Meir says that konamot cannot be mitzaref for the shear of me'ila. No, he was saying, he himself doesn't hold that. He was saying, according to you, the Rabbana, he says back to the Rabbana, look, guys, Lididi, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing to discuss over here about tziruf, because there's no korban. And therefore, tziruf for what? And if you're talking about the Malkus, then even a Mashu is also, right? So, Lididi, ein me'ila bekonamot klal. There's nothing to discuss here. This whole thing is a waste of time. But you're getting all twisted up about whether it's mitzaref or not. So, at least be moda if you hold that there is a me'ila bekonamot. So, be moda that konamot are no different than shavuos, meaning you do not bring two separate inyanim korbanas for two separate things. They should be each one. Sorry, would bring each one of them a separate issue, because I don't hold, remember, that the explanation is Rav Pinchas. And whatever he thought the explanation was in the Chachamim, why would there be a difference between Konamot and Shvuot? If you hold that you cannot be Mitzarif them, so you can't be Mitzarif Konamot either. And the Rabbanan answer, what do you mean? The only reason we hold that you cannot be Mitzarif Shavuos is because of Rav Pinchas' Sfora. Rav Pinchas' Sfora that when it comes to Shavuos, the Yediyos are Mechalkos for the Chatos. But there's no such logic when it comes to the konomas. And therefore, we were only saying that there is no tziruf by Shavuos. But why are we supposed to think it's reasonable that konomot also wouldn't be able to be mitzarif? Okay, getting back now to the original question of what is included in the concept of achila, which Rava had originally raised at the top of the daf. What would be the din of offer? So let's take a look at that again. Rava asked before, Shvuah shelo ochal. We made reference to Rava, remember, because we said we should be able to answer Rava directly from the fact that Rabbi Akiva says, where do we ever find a case where somebody makes a shvuah and that you'd be chayev on achila pochus b'kezayis, right? So we said, oh, well, what about Rava's case? And we should be able to answer Rava from the Mishnah. Let's take a look at Rava. Rava said, if somebody makes a shvuah that I will not eat stam. So then for sure, if he eats offer, when somebody says I won't eat, he means I won't eat comestibles. He doesn't mean I won't put things into my mouth and chew on them. That's not called eating. I mean, it's just sitting around and eating dirt. Of course, that's potter. But what if he said beferush? Boy, Rabbis, what if he said beferush? I will not eat dirt. So shvuah shelo ochal afar. So since he said that's bekama, I want to know whether he really means eating in a technical sense. So do we say that kiva d'amar shelo ochal? He used the word eating. Maybe he really means literally the normal concept of eating, which is a shir of kezayis. And since he said, I won't eat, then he was thinking about a kezayis of afa. Or maybe we're talking about something over here that is not comestible. Nobody eats this. O d'amar kiva d'olav miri d'ach le'inchehu. He meant, I'm not going to put any of this filth in my mouth and chew on it. That's what essentially he was saying. And that was the kosher take. Okay, so as we said before, we did not really have a riot from the Mishnah to the question of Rav. Now, I have another issue. A guy says, Shu'ah shelo ochal chartzat. So let's say that if somebody makes a shvu and he's going to eat dirt, so then he didn't mean a kezias of dirt. Let's assume that we knew the answer to that question. Imtim tzolomar, so to speak. So now we answered that by saying, well, obviously he means a mashu. Well, let's see how far we would take that if that were the case. Suppose a guy says, I will not eat chartzan. A chartzan are seeds of grapes. People, it's not that people don't put seeds of grapes into their mouth. It's just that they do not eat something that is just grape seeds, right? I mean, obviously you can eat a grape and chew the whole grape, including the grape seeds. People often don't spit out the seeds of a grape. So therefore, how do we look at it? So do we say, kiven de mitachela yedei ta'arovet? Look, I mean, it's not as if it's not edible. It's just not edible alone. So when the man made this shvua over here, he meant, I won't eat a kezayit of grape seeds. And that's not the same thing as dirt, which is completely something that has no relationship to the word eating. But certainly grape seeds do have relationship to the word eating. So maybe in this case, he would mean not to eat a kezayit. Oh, dilma kima de lo be'ine achle le'inshi. Do we say people don't eat just grape seed? So maybe it's the same as eating dirt. Da'ite amashu teiku. Also, even that we're not sure about. Now, another imtim siloma. Let's take for granted that we mean to aser, since it's an edible thing in circumstances. So we mean to aser achila only of a kizai. So now I've got another question, says Rav Ashi. Suppose a nazir says, I take a shvua that I will not eat a grape seed. Grape seed. Does he mean a grape seed? So what does he mean? As far as the Isser is concerned, that a Nazir is not allowed to eat grape seeds, it says Beferish in the Torah. Mecharzanim va'adzag lo yochel. Doesn't it say that? I don't care whether you believe Charzan means the seed and the Zag, that's a machlokas, but whatever it is, definitely the common usage that we use Charzanim, which are the seeds of grapes, is Usser in the Torah. if he would eat a kezayit, for sure, since the Torah says lo yochel, it means he can't eat a kezayit. So now, he makes a shvua. What is his intent? Kiko mishtaba ahatera kamishtaba vedaite amashu. Since he's taking an additional shvua, he's already a nazir. Now, if he says, I'm not going to eat chartzan, he means, perhaps, to concentrate on that which up until this point was mutter, and now he wants to aser even a mashu by taking a shvua not to eat even a mashu. Or do we say, look, the bottom line is, he did say achila, I won't eat chartzan. If you're telling me that the din of chartzanim is that it's considered to be a foodstuff, which is what we took as a working assumption, an imtim saloma earlier. So then in this case, perhaps the original understanding of the imtim saloma, he said lo ochal, he means lo ochal, a kezayit. So each time, in other words, what we've done is we've gone from a non-comestible to a comestible ayyadei taroves, to that same comestible ayyadei taroves in a case where there's indication that he must have meant to do something new, and that would only have been if he's adding less than a kezayit to an iser that's already extant of his being a nazir. Clear? It's an obvious going from one step to the next and raising the new issues. Hey. How nice to see all those letters trickling around in front of my face. A hey and a mem and an R and an H and a big R and a little R. It's just beautiful. I could sit here and write poetry about the alphabet all day long. A hey and a B. A big B and a little B, all even in the same word. Wow. It looks like it's bobbing up and down. Incredible. Just incredible. And, I mean, what an M. I mean, look at the beautiful coloration all around that M. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. Lovely, lovely. And, wow, what is that thing that looks sort of like a lion? I wonder, what might that be? It's not a letter. It's a line, maybe? Hakiva, is that a line? Or is that a griffin? Or is it a lion? And, oh, my, my, it's my own favorite lion cub himself, is it? Ha, quite amazing. But things are looking a little bit more interesting. Okay. I mean, look, if you're going to throw things at me, at least let it be a photograph, you know? Gets really boring just watching the letters. Anyway, man, what you guys put me through. I don't even know if anybody's there. Okay. So let's go back. Is it clear? We've gone each step by step, right? Wonderful. Those of you who have stuck around for 50 years with your picture, I want you to know how much I appreciate it. Yes, indeed. There's Menachem L. Never did he throw letters at me. Okay, what's the din? Tashma. Well, for that, I think we've got Araya on tomorrow's Daf's Mishnah. Look what it says. Shavua shelo ochal. So, guy makes a shavua, he's not going to eat, and he ends up eating nevelot, trefot, shkatzim, rimasim. Man, it says over there he's chayev, and Rabbi Shimon says he's punter. So, first of all, let's try to understand that. Why in the world would he be chayev for eating nevelos and trefos? I mean, I thought we have a Gavi concept called Mushba v'omed mihar Sinai. Wherever there's an extant shvua, one shvua is not chal on another shvua. And since these things, there's a shvua, what's that shvua? That's the Kabbalah Satera is the shvua. And therefore, you can't make a shvua to answer something which the Torah answered you on. So how is it that he would be chayev? So we have two different approaches, and we have four different shitas arguing about this two approaches. Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, those three all together hold, it's talking about that the guy said, I won't eat. He didn't say, I won't eat nevelas. He made a general statement, I won't eat at all. Now, if you say you won't eat at all, so then you're adding new things to what you couldn't eat before. Before, you couldn't eat nevelos or trefus. Now you can't even eat kosher meat. So you're not going to eat it at all. Not just nevelas or treifas. What is that called? Kolel devarim ha-mutarim im devarim ha-asurim. You've added along and included a broader, more inclusive isser than you had before. Remember that our problems with ein isur chal al isur, if you hold it's isur kolel, then there is isur chal al isur. That would be a very simple explanation of the Mishnah that's coming up. So if the guy made a general statement, I'm not going to eat, since it's an isur kolel, much broader than not eating just the velus or treifas, so therefore, in such a case, it would be chal. That explains why the Mishnah here is saying, according to the Tanakhama, you'd be chayav. Rish Lakish says, no, that's not the case. The only way that you could explain how you could answer yourself on nevelas or treifas would be either you said beferish, that you are answering even a tiny bit, not just the achilah b'kisayit. Oh, so up until now, the Torah only answered you not to eat a kisayis. And you now made a new issur, you're not going to eat even a tiny piece. That wasn't said on Har Sinai. So since that wasn't said on Har Sinai, it would be chal. Now, obviously, there's a problem over here, because if you hold that chatzi shir is osur min atera, so then it was said on Har Sinai, right? And that would be, how can you say that the chatzi shir is going to be the difference? So that's the question. Maybe, since this is Reish Lakish, so maybe that's the point. Reish Lakish holds, actually, that chatzi shir is not osur min ha-Torah. So it fits in very, very well. So that's possible that it's only being said that she does say, but it's also possible that when we say there's a shvua on the Torah, and you're called mushpa ve'emed, that's only where you were mekabel on yourself the tzivoy with the shiurim. Masha'in came, the fact that the Torah asserted, that's not called mushpa ve'emed, because it wasn't the shir that's beferish in the Torah. Fine. So ignore that problem right now. Reish Lakish obviously does not buy into this new idea of an Isser Kalil, and therefore would say Isser Kalil Isser. So he's saying the only way that you'd be able to work this out is the guy said beferish, I answer myself even on a chatzi shir, that would be according to Rabbanan, or according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that when you use the word achila, you're answering yourself by definition even on a chatzi shir, you wouldn't have to say so openly. You could just make a shvua, and that would be a chatzi shir. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, would work out fine. You weren't osur on a chatzi shir before, and now you made a shvua, and you are osur. Now, obviously, a nevela is mushpa v'min Har Sinai, and this case is the equivalent of a chartzan being osur to a nazir, right? So, it's the same as the case of a chartzan to a nazir. And Reish Lakish says the only reason that it's chal is because you said beferish, you're taking a shvua to eat less even than a kezias. But if you hadn't, you see that the chartzan, his das would have been on the kezias. Same thing it says over here. His das would have been on a kezias of nevela. Nevela is the same as the kezias. Nevela is the same as the kezias of chartzanim. So you see from here that Shema Mina, if a nazir said, I will not eat chartzanim, even though anyway that's osur, he must have meant a kezayit, unless he says so otherwise. Because Reish Lakish says it's only alib Rabbi Akiva, that you would not have to be mefarish. Oh, but wait, so let's work that out backwards. Couldn't we then also answer the original question in this whole list of Yimtim Tzolomars? Can we go back to what Rava asked? Somebody says, I won't eat dirt. So from here you see, he said Bekama. So from here you should say, Adi Ika Kizayit. Because, I mean, isn't an avela like dirt? An avela is completely inedible. It's not like the chatzan, which is edible by mixture. The veil isn't edible at all. It should be like dirt. And the only reason that Rish Lakish says that the Shavua would be for less than a Kezias is if you said so, Beferish. But if you didn't say so, then even though it's a piece of dirt because it's an Avela, so you would mean a Kezias. The same thing is true if it's a piece of dirt because it's a piece of dirt, according to Rava. Rava wanted to know what would be the din of a piece of dirt. Well, now we know. An Avela is a piece of dirt. Ah, come on, says the Gemara. An Avela is not a piece of dirt. An Avela is a delicious sandwich at the sandwich shop. Afar is not edible. Avela is completely edible. It actually looks delicious. The only problem is, and now we understand that picture that's been here the whole time, there's a lion that is standing there on top of that sandwich, and every time you get near and you want to take a bite, it goes, rawr! And therefore, it's not comparable at all. An Avela is batachila, but there's an aryeh derevia iluyah. There is a lion on top of it, and that lion is the Isser in the Torah, and therefore, you can't get near it, but it sure looks yummy. And because of that, it is completely comestible, and because of that, you cannot learn out Rava from here at all, obviously.
Eat more, because any comments must be at the Ari.
That's a very interesting one. That's very interesting. That's cute, I must say. Okay. Kol hakavod Barnea. Every once in a while. Yeah. No, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. We're finally admiring you. Oh, man, you're on a roll. Let me tell you. Is it chita roll or sora roll? Okay. So now I think we should do the Mishnah anyway, even though we're not going to have an opportunity to do the Gemara. But it's a big Mishnah. So even though we'll go over it again rapidly tomorrow, and Akiva's even giving us a thumbs up, he likes the idea of doing the Mishnah as well. So you can't turn Akiva down, right?
But she's ready. That way his mic is off.
What, Micah's not feeling well? What's going on, Rich?
Everything in it too tight.
Continues the Mishnah. Thank you, Sir Richard. Shavua shelo ochal. So a guy makes a shavua that he's not going to be eating anything, and he went ahead the ochal v'shata. He ate and he drank. Is he chayev separately or what? No, that's eating includes drinking. Eno chayav ela achat. Because people normally, when they talk about eating, they mean consuming through the act of eating if it's a liquid, if it's a solid, and drinking it if it's a liquid. And they don't start defining it in different ways, eating or drinking. So then he would only be chayav one thing. But if he specified, I will not eat and I will not drink, and he ate and he drank, then it's clear from the way that he phrased it that he did not mean to include drinking when he said eating, because he specified that afterwards. Now, because of that, it would be two separate shvuas, and he would be chayev separately, a separate carbon for achila, and a separate carbon for the shtia. Suppose he said shavua shelo ochal, and then he eats all kinds of different things, pat ritin, pat saorin, pat kusmim. It's all one Shavua, and he's only chayev one. Now, here comes the line that we spoke about earlier, which was the whole beautiful diuk of Rav Papa's idea of being able to separate for karbonos, even though you only said Shavua once. Here, however, if he even said one word Shavua, but he spelled out, lo ochal pat chitin, upat zorin, upat kusmim, since he said pat, 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 every one of those is a separate Shavua, V'achal, he would be chayav al kol achat v'achat. That was the big chiddush that we'd spoken about earlier. The Gemara will explain why this is true. So he would be chayav each one a separate korban. How about if he says shvua shelo eshte? The same thing is true. He drinks a lot of different things. He has some beer, and he has some wine, and he has some Coca-Cola, And there's a question whether that's the same din as Rava's Afar, or whether it's not quite Afar, because after all, it's usable for cleaning crankshafts. So in that case, you would be chayiv. Even if you drank all those different kinds of things, you would only be chayiv once. But if you specified shvua shelo eshteh yayin v'shemen udvash, and then you drank those, then you would be chayiv on each one of them separately. And the Gemara is going to explain what that case was. It's a little bit more complicated than it looks. How about if he says shvua shelo ochal? And he eats things that are not roi lachiva. Ochal ochal she'enim ru'uyin lachiva. He drinks mashkin she'enim ru'uyin l'shtia. That is not considered to be eating if it's no longer edible or drinkable. If he says shvua shelo ochal, and here's the mission we were talking about, v'yachal nevelo t'trefot shkatzim v'rimasim. So then he would be chayev, and in the end, remember how we had to work out why he would be chayev, and it would be either because of Isser Kerlel, and Rabbi Shimon is poter, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Isser Kerlel. That's the simple version. Again, we'll go into the details tomorrow, as I said. How about if he says, Konim ishti nenet li'im achalti hayom? He's saying, if I ate anything today, then I am taking on myself an Isser that my wife is not able to be nene from me. Now, it turns out that he had eaten, but the things that he had eaten were nevelas, trefas, shkarchin, v'remasim. That is considered to be, in retrospect, since he ate it, it's included in eating. So even if a person wouldn't have meant to include that in the future, but over here, the very fact that he had eaten it shows that to him, this is food. And therefore, hare ishto asura. Lovely.